On my vacation, I found myself hungry to update my wardrobe. And not just because our clothing shopping options are rather limited here in the Soldotna area, or because I get tired of ordering things online and then having to ship them back and mess around with UPS or FedEx or whoever it's going to and print the label and the whole thing. But I found myself buying items of clothing that represented parts of who I am that were nurtured back in Pennsylvania. I got a new hooded sweatshirt with a Lutheran logo, the camp that I worked at, because it has the logo of the sign that was in front of the camp whenever I was a kid and would go there. I got a long sleeve t-shirt that says the Seton Hill Griffins from my college. Now, everything you know about me can be summed up in the fact that my college mascot is a mythological creature, right? That's all you need to know about me. And then I picked up a few things from Scranton, Pennsylvania, because I'm a huge fan of the TV show The Office. Coming back from my vacation, I have to decide, am I the person who's going to wear all of these items as soon as I get them because they're new and shiny and fun? Or am I one of those people who's going to hide them away and just pull them out when I need a little refresher? Clothing is something that we use to express our identity, whether with logos or styles or colors. When I first moved here, I bought a So High baseball cap because I wanted to feel like I belonged, right? I wanted something that proved I wasn't just a tourist. And if I had So High gear, then obviously I lived here. The labels that we wear on our clothing tell something about who we are, where we went to college, maybe our hobbies, or even your favorite TV show that is a parody of a modern American office life that delves into the lives of workers at Dunder Mifflin, a paper supply company in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Now, our clothes also tell us something about where we live and what we do. I love looking at the airport in Anchorage and trying to figure out everyone and how they're dressed. Have you guys done that? Where you're like, oh, you must be working on the slope because you can see the bunny boots, right, and lots of layers. Or maybe the people who have the really heavy coats because you know they're going back to a remote part of Alaska and are going to have to fly a little plane in. Or those who have the really fresh, clean outdoors gear that are clearly here for their once-in-a-lifetime Alaskan adventure. Our clothing tells a story of our income, our political and social beliefs, our role in society. Now, our gospel reading tells the story of a king, a wealthy and powerful king, inviting people to his son's wedding banquet or wedding reception. And when the original guests didn't show up, the king eventually sends his soldiers out to kill them. Moral of the story, don't RSVP for an event that you're not going to show up to. So then we have this beautiful reversal where the king sends out his servants again to invite anyone to come to the table, just so that he has guests at this table. He's like, I've already, you know, prepared all the food. I've slaughtered the animals I need to. I want people at the table, so come to the party. That sounds great, right? It's a party. Cool. Except that the king notices that just one of these guests is not dressed appropriately. He doesn't have the wedding robe on. And it's a garment that would have been provided to him as he walked in the door. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. This parable is a hard one for me. And the reading and studying and praying that I did about it doesn't yield a better answer for me. It doesn't have some profound answer that rings in my soul, right? Even that last line, right? Like, what is it? Something about all are welcome, but few are chosen. And then we're like, the gospel of the Lord, right? That's a little depressing when you're like, oh, but it's just a few of us. Parables are designed to teach us something about ourselves through another person's story. And it was a way that Jesus was teaching during this time, and it allowed him to call out the injustices of those in power without getting arrested immediately. But it's also a very human way of telling stories. We use stories to tell people about things or how things were created or how we want to get things done. You know, the boogie monster that will come out if you stay up too late reading in your bed with the blanket over your head and a flashlight. Or that certain red suit clad jolly man who knows when you're sleeping or when you're awake. Or that delicate pixie who flies through the air and swaps your molars for money. But this story is messy for me because I think it says more about what Matthew is writing for his time than perhaps the overall message of what Jesus is saying. This particular parable has been used in the last couple hundred years to justify hatred against Jewish people by Christian people. Because saying that the king threw out someone not dressed for the wedding party, and that many are called but few are chosen, and people have used that saying, well, the Christians are the chosen ones and the Jews are not. It can also be a problematic parable because if we equate the king to God or Jesus, then we're reading about a pretty violent, murderous God who burns down whole cities like having a childish tantrum. Plus, throwing out one guest who showed up last minute because you begged him to be at a table because you didn't want an empty party room and he wasn't wearing the right outfit. We don't know why he's not wearing the set outfit. So the king throws him into the outer darkness, which is a really bad place, for him to be destroyed, right? Him going out was not just like, hey, it's not your time, go home, we'll see you later. But throwing him to the outer darkness was sending him out to a really bad place. All right, so Pastor Meredith, you are preaching on a text that has been used to justify anti-Semitism and sets us up for an abuse of God. Real warm and fuzzy this Sunday morning. Dear friends, I sometimes just need to name these things because the complexity of scripture readings for us means that sometimes we have to sit in the confusion before I can give you some nice, easy message to go out into your week with. Because scripture isn't perfect. It's messy. It's hard. It's confusing. But it's also this living, breathing document that we get to spend time with, to wrestle with, to challenge, to interrupt, to ask, to beg, and to wonder with and wonder about. And part of why today, as Mental Health Awareness Sunday, is falling on this day with these scriptures is because I wanted to think about this wedding garment. I wanted to think about what we are clothed with in the name of Jesus Christ, rather than try to make sense of this king and the parable that isn't clearly defined other than being a violent and destructive man with some ego problems. We dress ourselves in garments, whether for weddings or funerals or parties, on an average day, going to work or being around the house. And it tells the world something about us. My clothing this week told the world that I went to Seton Hill University, I love working at Luther Lynn, and I clearly love The Office. But these are the sides of me that I want to show you. These are the public sides of me that I want to advertise because I'm proud of. We generally don't wear shirts that say, anxiety disorder needs 10 milligrams of Paxil to stay on track, or complex PTSD from childhood trauma. We don't wear clothing that describes diagnoses or non-diagnoses. We don't wear clothing that names our fears, our insecurities, or uncertainties. We wear clothing that shows where we belong, even when we don't feel like we belong. It would have been really easy for the guest to just put on the stinking wedding robe and fit in. It was given to him at the door. He was invited to a great party, and all he had to do was put on the robe. Why didn't he? From a theological standpoint, we don't know why. We don't know why he came underdressed, and that meant he was vulnerable to criticism, judgment, and even violence. And when he was asked why, he had nothing to say. He was speechless. He had no words. The conversation around mental health in our nation and our world is drastically changing. More and more people are naming it, acknowledging it, dealing with it, not as some hidden part of who we are, but as a natural part of who we are, right? It's like taking a medication or seeing a counselor is as obvious or simple as dealing with acid reflux that reoccurs or an insulin issue. And while I can't say with conviction what I think the right message we're supposed to get from the parable today is, I can tell you with conviction that I resonate with a man who shows up to the party in his true self, not with a garment to match everyone else, because that's what he was supposed to do, but with a garment of himself. with his true self on display, not hidden away or covered up to make someone else happy, but to be himself, to own the parts of him that might make someone else uncomfortable. What are you dressed in? What are the markers of who you are as a beloved child of God when you're not wearing those outer garments? What are the labels and logos written on your heart and your soul when the outside garments are taken away? Because while I'm not quite sure where God is in this whole parable, I do know that we, as people of God, attempt to follow Jesus' teachings, and we're drawn to this divine who says, come as you are, right? We follow a Savior who came for us as kind of messy people, not perfect or without flaws. Because we're following a God who says there will be room, there will be food for plenty, right? As shown with baskets of bread and fish gathered in the crowds. That there will be healing and wholeness, as shown with the woman who touched Jesus' garment on the roadway. That there will be acceptance, as shown with the children called close to him. That there will be love, as shown in his own garment being absent, his body being thrown out into the darkness, and then the promise of new life on Easter morning. That we find comfort in God when we are in the darkest moments of our lives, literally walking through the valley of evil. That we can feel the presence of God like oil spilling over our heads. This is the Christ we follow. This is the label that we wear. This is the garment that we put on. This is the love that we follow and we attempt to experience and express each and every day. Not because we've somehow proven our worth through our actions or words, but because we are loved for who we are, period. Holy, fully as ourselves. Thanks be to God. Amen.